I will welcome everyone to another session of Post-Cursive with Jonathan and myself, Jose. So today we're going to talk a little bit about creating websites with kids. And so this is the third segment of our installment. So you can go back if you want to hear some of the topics that we touched before. But today, to start off, Jonathan, I know you want to talk a little bit about embedding content. And what specifically do you want to share?
Well, I guess I just want to share that you can embed content in websites. And what that means is that you can put things into your website that will update as that content updates online. And to give an example, if you have a Twitter feed embedded in your website, you can send out a tweet from your phone and it instantly shows up on your website. If you have an audio boom embedded in your website, that's for sending out audio, like podcasts, kind of like what we do. Mm-hmm. You can publish it, and if you have the audio boom embedded in your website, then it shows up automatically. Like Padlet as well is another tool that we use, and we both have Padlets embedded in our websites, and that way, you know, any content we add to the Padlet or kids add to the Padlet, it instantly shows up on the website. So I guess embedding is just a really, really great way to have your website be a little bit more dynamic and sort of be more responsive to what's going on in your classroom. And it's a very easy way to update content in your classroom. Like, for instance, in my classroom, if I want to send out content to the kids really quickly, I can choose to either add a resource to the Padlet that they can see on their webpage, or I could send out a tweet that they can see in the webpage too, because both are embedded and both will show up pretty much instantly across those devices, or across those platforms, the websites. Are there any particular things that you embed in your classroom?
I'm pretty much along the same lines, but I just wanted to add maybe the word widgets, because I think sometimes, I know when I was using WordPress calls them widgets when you're embedding the content, and so for a little while, I was just kind of confused as to what a widget was, and so I had to do a little research, and then it was just, you're just getting the iframe and dropping in that code.
Right.
So I guess maybe if you want to touch a little bit about those iframes, because I think for anybody that hasn't ever embedded, it might seem a little bit like, I think that's the first time I started engaging with HTML and not just dropping content in, but actually looking at the HTML.
Right. So a lot of what we do as teachers for our web development is drag and drop. You know, we're using kind of blocks, these stuff where you can drag and I suppose a component to your web page, and then it runs itself. And a lot of the software that we use, you have the ability to embed an iframe or a widget, which I guess for all intents and purposes are pretty much the same thing for this conversation. So if you do add an iframe to your web page, it will ask you to paste in some text. So then if I went to my Twitter, for instance, I could go to Twitter, settings, and I can go to export as an iframe or something along those lines. And it will give you text that you can copy and paste into your web page. And then when you paste it in, it just magically shows that content from Twitter. It's actually right there on your web page. So the iframes are just, I guess they're just HTML that links up to your different accounts or your different, I suppose, widgets or whatever you choose to embed. And they do give you a little bit of customizability to have like a dark theme or a light theme, so you can make it suit your website a little bit better too.
Yeah, and I think the nice thing about these iframes is that you don't really have to really understand the code.
Right.
I mean, you can just copy and paste and drop it in where it's asking you. But if you do, how you're saying, the customization, I mean, you can make it wider if you wanted to, if you can actually understand the HTML code and change the numbers.
Right, and sometimes you don't even have to touch the code. It's actually in the iframe builder, or if you go to your whatever resource you want to embed, lots of times when you select to, you know, embed an iframe, it will give you little parameters where you can increase the width or the height or change from dark to light without touching code. So really, you don't need to know anything about code to build a website that has embedded iframes that can, you know, showcase dynamic content, you know, add more vibrancy to your website, so it's not just a static page, it can actually be a really interactive space.
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing about it, a lot of these iframes have their own built-in scrolling ability, so that you don't have to worry about putting in something for them to scroll, it's already built into it.
Right.
No, great. So, I guess another thing I know we wanted to talk about was storing the content, and so I know you want... you use Dropbox a lot. You want to reference that a little bit?
Yeah, well, we talked about Dropbox in our previous episode, but one of the great things about Dropbox, especially when you use it for housing blended learning resources or resources that you're sharing with your kids using the internet, one of the great things about Dropbox is you have offline access to them. So if I've built a website or I have a curriculum where I've got a ton of blended learning resources, if I'm using Dropbox to house these resources, then if the internet goes down, I still have full access to all those resources, movie files, image files, or animated GIFs, or audio files, or any content that I share with the kids. Typically, I do it from Dropbox by right-clicking, copy the URL, and then I can tweet that out or whatever. So it's a real live acting web resource. But ultimately, it lives on my computer. So if the internet goes down, I still have all the resources in Dropbox. And that's been key because, as we all know, the internet isn't always working perfectly in the schools and stuff, and technology, you know, it has hiccups. But having your content in Dropbox means you have full access to it all the time, which is pretty sweet.
But then with your students, you share it pretty much as a whole class. Then would you do the activities? Because it exists on your Dropbox, right, on your computer, so offline. But if I were to go to another computer, I wouldn't have that offline content, right?
You're right. So it depends. Like, most of the time, these resources are for maybe whole group, or I can just put them up on the board so that they can help kids to accomplish different projects or different activities. So these resources can be shared with kids, you know, in a group setting. There are probably ways you can get it out to kids one-on-one. Without the internet, I'm not sure how you would do that.
Yeah.
It would be more difficult.
Well, you'd have to go computer by computer with a USB and dropping it into their Dropbox folder within that computer, which by that point it's just...
Right.
Great. Yeah. And so, just to add too, I mean, the big difference too between this and Google Drive is that Google Drive has to exist on the internet. So in order for you to access those documents, you still need the internet access.
Yeah, typically that's correct. Of course, you can have it synchronized to a folder on your desktop or on your computer, but really I think the easiest solution for all of this stuff is Dropbox, in my experience. It's just so simple to use, works great. It's like magic.
Yeah, and I mean, it's so integrated into a lot of different apps and programs right now that it's kind of like, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been building websites for our kids, and we've been teaching students to build their own websites as well. How do you see what are the benefits of that for kids? How is building a website for yourself something important for elementary school students? Why is it important?
I mean, one of our big philosophies is just making the kids be creators and makers and not just consumers. And so at the most basic level is that when we take kids on the computer and the internet in particular, it's just go to somebody's website. And so I feel like it's kind of like you're always looking at what somebody else made. And me in particular, being the type of creative person, I like to make my own. I like to be able to go and make my own. And so I think for a kid, it's even more powerful to be able to visit the internet and know that at our grade level, at a third through fifth grade, you're a creator of content in this medium that your parents are using. If you have older siblings, they're constantly on it. And so just being able to know that you're a part of what's happening on there and you're just not going there to consume.
And can you give me some examples of some of the content that kids are publishing to their websites that you've seen? What kind of things are on there?
I mean, you have your classic gamers that are creating tutorials. Kids are obsessed right now with Minecraft. So I'd say in each class, there's about five kids that do a page on Minecraft. And from there, it ranges from sophistication, from some just doing screenshots that they find online, to other kids actually dropping in advice and tips for certain levels, to other kids looking for videos to incorporate. And so, I mean, these are fourth and fifth graders. So right now they're really just curating online content, but they're curating it for themselves so that now when they want to go to observe this, they get to go straight there. And it's different than just creating bookmarks because they're picking icons to link to these different activities. So it's a much, much more visual of a space that they're creating for themselves.
All right, so it's a visualized, kind of personalized space that they curate themselves. And I've seen kids putting in Google Forms as well, you know, that you can click and give them feedback on their website. And it's pretty impressive that the kids are doing that.
And it's just some of them are so... I feel like there's a handful that are already seeing kind of where they could take this to the next level, where they're creating side pages for projects that they're solely interested in, kind of. I saw this one girl, she was really into fashion, so she started making this webpage about outfits. And, like, she wasn't thinking about it, but it's just an awesome way to do things.
Very good. Well, thank you for your time today, Jose.
No, thank you.
See you next time.
Yep.